This recording will be for the meeting of the Emory County School District Board of Education held on Wednesday, October 1st, 2008 at Emory High School beginning at 7 o'clock p.m.
We welcome you to our board meeting. Thank you for coming. We will begin today by saying the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
We will begin with the first item, the consent, the warrants and the minutes. Any discussions on that?
Make a motion, we approve them. I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we have the resolution on No Child Left Behind.
Yeah, we have the meeting with superintendents. The American Association of School Administrators presented a resolution that they are asking that superintendent groups, school board groups, and local boards adopt this resolution, which basically outlines some of the flaws that are in the No Child Left Behind legislation, some of the concerns that the level of funding of No Child Left Behind does not match what's required in the law and implementation in the school district. So they have a resolution that they would like local boards to adopt, that I'm recommending we adopt, and basically the resolution says that the federal government should more carefully target the small investment that they're making toward No Child Left Behind toward where it was intended, and that's low-income and minority groups, to help them to get a better education, and that's really where your federal monies are targeted. It's your Title I, your special ed, and your ELL students. And yet, schools are being required to do things that have nothing to do with those subgroups of students. And the funding is so low, they would like the investment to match what's required. And the idea is that this resolution then would be sent to our congressional delegations across the nation to encourage them as they look at the reauthorization of the Elementary and Secondary Education Act, which includes No Child Left Behind, that this resolution would have some impact on changing that legislation. I wouldn't hold my breath on it, but it's at least an attempt to try to do something to either get the funding where it should be or at least match the requirements with the funding. So I'm recommending the board adopt this resolution. I think you've had a chance to look at it. And if you do adopt this resolution, we'll put it on our official letterhead and I'll have the board president sign it and we'll send it to our congressional delegation. So I recommend the board approve that resolution.
I would move that we do that.
I second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you.
Okay. We have the adoption of resolution adopting pickup election score URS.
Yeah, we received a letter from Utah Retirement System this month asking us to send them notification or evidence that the district has formally adopted pickup elections. And what these are is years and years and years ago, back in probably the 70s up to the mid-80s, all employees did a contribution to their retirement instead of just the district paying for it all, and that was called the contributory system. Now we're on the non-contributory system, but we do still have well less than a handful of employees who stay on the contributory system. And so the district needs this resolution saying that we have elected to provide our contribution in that contributory system. That's what these pickup elections are called. They said we looked back in the minutes and could not find anything showing that the district had formally done that. So their advice was to have the district adopt a resolution today at our board meeting, and we can send it to them, and that will suffice. So we're recommending adoption of this resolution.
I recommend that we adopt it.
There's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Okay, we get to hear the principal's report. And
we'll find out if he knows what's going on.
I think you're just coming home, aren't you? Is that the way you feel? Or?
Yeah. Well, once again, thanks for the opportunity to talk about Emory High School and what we're doing here and what we hope to do and how things are going at the start of the school year. I do appreciate the confidence that you've shown in me in allowing me to serve as principal here. I'm privileged to be a school administrator in the Emory District, and I appreciate, again, the confidence in your allowing me to do so. We're off to a really good start. Everyone has been real kind in welcoming both me and Mr. Meekins to the school, and I've got to say that sometimes we look at each other for answers and really don't know where they are, but we've been able to seek them out and we've been able to get lots and lots of help. So we appreciate the faculty and the staff being welcoming here and helping us through these first few weeks of school. It doesn't take long before you realize that, you know, there's work at hand and you just dig in and get it done. And the newness wears off pretty fast. But I have put together a few things that I'd like to go through with you. The first page is our mission statement, which has been long-standing here at the school. I believe it was adopted even when I was here the first go-around, served the school well. And the desired results for student learning, these were part of the school's accreditation plan from last year. And we're continuing to use those. The focus, as you can see, is on reading, writing, and the integrity program. And we have continued to use literacy programs through our learning strategy classes. Each day we spend 15-minute class period. It is a great class period, both academically and in citizenship, where we focus on literacy, 3 days of reading, and 2 days of writing. Most of the time I've visited most of the learning strategies classes and have enjoyed reading and writing along with the students. And the teachers have still designed meaningful lessons in those short class periods. Writing to the prompts, reading aloud, reading silently, various strategies. And I hope to incorporate some literacy lessons for the teachers to give little mini lessons on improving reading and writing as we get further into the school year. The component involving integrity is certainly something that the faculty felt needed to be addressed. I think during the course of last year as they prepared for the accreditation. And it's something I think that once we get a handle on integrity, and this one component has to do with the honesty in the classroom, then I think that's going to help change the culture of the school. I think that's going to make a meaningful difference. We want to get to the point where students become models for their peers, or students are self-governing themselves. Pointing out that that cheating not only is dishonest, but it is also cheating yourself with a quality education. And we want kids to realize that and to help each other to make improvements there. The accreditation went well last year.
school fully accredited for 6 years. Gwen at the time and her staff did a remarkable job, and the accreditation team was very impressed with the school and the way it was run and the way that the faculty responded to needs and the plan that they had put together. It's been very helpful to me moving into administration here to carry on those ideals and those plans that set down a year ago. The administrative goals, and these are my own thoughts. We have talked about some of these things with the faculty, and normally I would at this point in the principal's report talk about school goals, but I don't think we're quite to that point yet. So these are pretty much my own, but they will be on the table, and they involve, number one, apply relevant data toward improving instruction and designing academic enhancement programs for students academically at risk. This is underway, so I guess this one is pretty much adopted, but we have been disaggregating the core data as we receive it. Right now we're to the point where we are meeting with the departments. I met with the math department on Tuesday, and we began to lay down strategies in several areas. One is for the department to take a close look at their instructional strategies, their scope and sequence, their classroom management, all of those components that make up good teaching. And at the same time, identify their areas of strength based on the core tests of each standard, where their weaknesses make adjustments, where their strengths continue to make those strengths even stronger, but more importantly, to identify those students that are struggling in the core standards. And we have all of that data at our disposal. It's a matter of taking the time to look through that data, seek out the weaknesses, and then design academic enhancement plans for each of those students. That is underway throughout the fall. I'll be meeting with each department. We'll meet with the language arts department next, and then the science department, and so forth. We're working on making some changes, tightening up, maybe even some additions to our policy manual. We're also in the process of conducting a safety inventory and practicing emergency procedures, creating new procedures where necessary, trying to be proactive in regard to all emergency possibilities. And this is especially important for me and Doug, because we don't know the campus as well as those who have been here, and we, being responsible for the safety of the students, really need to focus on emergency management. So we're going to spend next week with drills each day. The teachers have been asked, and the staff has been asked to take any notes on any glitches, any flaws, anything that they see that we're not addressing, and then we will go to a debriefing in the next faculty meeting and work on security and safety at the school. Number four is to reorganize the school community council. We've got that going. We actually held a community council meeting before school started, because I wanted to take school improvement plan through the community council, assessment development plan through the school council, and get to know those good folks on that community council. But there were a few who no longer qualified to be on the community council because of not having any children in school. And so we wanted to make sure that we were compliant with state law and or reorganize where necessary. But it is a functioning and very active council at this point. Number five is key inventory. As the campus has expanded, we've added more and more keys. Glenn knows all about
And it's kind of frightening to really wonder who all has food out there to what as the years have gone by. So one of my projects will be to get an accurate inventory of who has what and who needs what, and then update the food files in the office. Also, early in the school year, even in first act, we conducted technology inventory to find out what teachers have in their classroom as far as technology, what we have available, but more importantly, what the needs are. So I got some good information there, and I'm in the process of prioritizing those things so that we can get the technology where needed and where it will be utilized the most. That would include things like sound enhancement, LCD projection, things of that nature, learning tools that would enhance teaching and learning. Proposed academic probation program that is not in place here. We had quite a bit of success with that for 10 years, and Doug and I have talked about that quite a bit. And we're going to model a draft proposal, present to the faculty, and get feedback on that, and hopefully be able to craft something that will hold students accountable academically. We have a citizenship probation program now that's pretty effective, but we're looking at adding the academic component. And then number 8 is kind of an extension of that, and that would be to change the citizenship probation program a little bit so that students would be engaged in activities that would help them learn self-esteem, help them improve in their areas of weakness that got them into probation to begin with. Now they're doing writing, and that's certainly important, and it's certainly something they can learn from, but we're looking at maybe adding some other types of programs that will focus on specific needs of those students who are typically habitual attenders of the citizenship program. Number 9, my overriding goal, I think, is to assess the culture at school here. And it has been impressive. I think for the most part, the students are very respectful of the building and the ground, and they understand their role as students. Most of them come prepared, most of them work hard, and that is something that I've been impressed with. Same with faculty, very energetic group, cohesive. They work hard, work together, but there are some things that I think can be improved, and those would be cultural changes. And as I've outlined here, improve work ethic, create teamwork and collegiality, build pride in the school, get support for policies, rules, procedures, establish a feeling of security and well-being, make the school a community learning center. And then number 10, complete the district's performance enhancement program, while also completing the district's classified employee evaluation program. And we have about 30 employees involved in it here at Emmy High, and I've taken on a rather ambitious task of not only completing the performance bonus component, but also doing the evaluation instrument at the same time. So that would be, put me in the classroom a lot, but that's where I need to be when I can, and I have to spend a lot of time in the classroom. Doing evaluations, just visiting, just getting to see how things are working, getting to know the students, getting to know the teachers, and just being out there. And that's helped me a lot, but at the same time, I am working on evaluating the performance bonus as well as the district employee evaluation. Number 11, make the school drug-free, tobacco-free, and alcohol-free. You might think that's impossible, but it's not impossible to try. So
Mr. Meacham and I, and I think that the staff and the faculty and most of the students were determined to rid those problems from the school. And working at it is going to make it better. Whether we reach 100%, I don't know, but certainly worth our effort. So we have begun the campaign, and the kids know that. We talked about it in the first assembly, and I think the students are behind us on it, and so are the parents. Number 12, improved professional development opportunities. There are two things going on. One is on the district level, the PD 360, which stands for professional development, full circle, covering all of the professional development opportunities. And at the same time, I'm developing a quest share for teachers, which would also include online professional development, but designed just for our faculty, just for Arnhem here at Emory High School. And that's part of my personal professional development plan. So hopefully that will be online for the end of the school year. So those are some of the things that I've set as goals, some of the things that we're really focusing on. And over on the next page are some of the demographics from Emory High School. You can see that we have, as of September 29th, 469 students. We added one today, so we're up to 470. And that's a little bit more than we had on the first day of school, but it's still down over 20 students from last year. Last year, I think we were at 481. So that's about 11 students then. And then the projections for next year, the most recent data I had showed up at 22 students fewer, so we will be dropping a little bit. Faculty and staff numbers there, and some information about fee waiver. We have 45 students on fee waiver, about 10% of the student body, and the dollar amount is $44.35. And then free and reduced lunch, we have 80 students, about 17% on free lunch. 74 or 16% on the goods for a combined 154, about 33%, which isn't too bad. A few noteworthy items on the next page. Emory High School did make AYT based on our standards. We also made UPAS based on the Utah standards. So, compliments to the work Gwen put in and the staff here and students in doing so. And certainly it's our goal to do it again this year. We have added a math club. Josh White, math teacher here, started the club. It's been very successful. And they are working on a tutoring program, after school tutoring program. Student council under Neil Peacock is very active. They most recently put together all the homecoming activities and are constantly planning things, good wholesome activities for kids. They get a little crazy sometimes, but these are things that kids enjoy and certainly make the high school year memorable. Academic All State, we honored 7 academic All State students, 5 from golf. Every senior on our golf team was an academic All-Stater.
Wow.
And 2 from the tennis team. And that's just golf and tennis. We're still getting notification of academic All-State in the other fall sports, football, volleyball, and cross country, and we will honor those students appropriately when we get those in. Testing, the sophomores have taken the plan test already. We're preparing for the U-District test coming up this month. for remediation classes now, getting those students prepared. And then also I would add that we have scheduled the SAT for Union also in October. The auditorium lighting project is complete. The new paneling is in, the lights have been installed, and seems to be working very well. We had the Jake Garn assembly here last Friday. It was organized by the youth council here in Henry County. And then as soon as that assembly was over, the stage crew, along with the maintenance and custodial staff, installed those lights. So that project is completed. Another capital outlay project that was finished was the cementing over of the bear patch out by the visiting Bleachers football field where we took out those trees. That's all cemented in now, and there is a handrail around the edge of it. Maintenance took care of that. Concurrent enrollment, we have a number of students enrolled in concurrent enrollment, taking a total of 991 credits this year, which is very impressive. The AP test results from last year, the students took those last spring. The results don't come out until late in the summer. But we had 7 students take the English language competition test, 4 of those passed. 15 took the literature composition test with 8 passing. 51 took the European history test with 28 passing, and 8 students took the calculus test, and all 8 of those students passed. So we feel really good about the overall results of that. And I think one of our goals is to encourage more participation in those AP tests, as well as concurrent enrollment. We held College Day on September 10th. We had about 20 colleges here in the morning. Seniors had the opportunity to spend time with 3 or 4 of the colleges of their choice, where they got information about enrollment and scholarships. It's been a tradition, and it was well received. Counseling office set that up. The FSA received a letter from the state FSA congratulating Emory High School for volunteering at the state fair to help with this Little Hands on the Farm exhibit. And also this summer, Jesse Malone finished second in the FSA range analysis contest, and he earned a trip to New Mexico to compete there. Very impressive. And I would also add that Clint Dalton has been very good to communicate with me all of the FSA activities and to invite me to those. I've met with the FSA officers for the first school year. We got off to an excellent start. I've been very impressed with that organization to this point. Parent Teacher Conference, September 24th. A week ago tonight, here in the library, we had all of the teachers here. That was the tradition that I believe Gwen started. I really like it. The teachers seem to have accepted that now. But it's very convenient for parents to come here and be able to meet with all the teachers without meandering around the school and getting lost, getting frustrated. So that worked out very well, and it was very well attended. We appreciate this. I mentioned the Youth Leadership Summit with Jake Garn, excellent speaker. You can imagine the anecdotes and stories that Jake Garn had to tell, and he had a very important message about education, and that is education opens up all kinds of possibilities. And he told our students about his experience growing up in Richfield as a young man in rural Utah. He never in a million years dreamed that he'd become a U.S. senator, let alone an astronaut. But I think he gave our students a lot of hope. And he told them that education is the key. And when I was talking to him kind of in private, and he was telling me about how he rollerblades and skis and still flies. And I said something like, well, you look pretty fit. and he held up his arm and had me fill his muscles. And he's in excellent shape. He turns 76 next week. So it was the performance bonus applications, as I mentioned, 27 employees have applied for this bonus. And I would add that this plan, the district office, Kirk especially, put together a plan that I think is motivating our teachers, and it's very doable. I don't have any complaints about it. Most of the teachers are excited about it. Most of them believe that they're just going to continue what they've been doing to get this. It's not anything extraordinary. So I look forward to doing the evaluations and working on a more personal level with our teachers and also the staff, many of the staff members that apply. Off faculty bi-monthly meetings, we do faculty meetings every other Tuesday, and on that off Tuesday, I meet with departments, or if it's not an academic department, then I plan on meeting with committees or other small groups, trying to be proactive on a lot of things, and that's worked well so far. And just a note about community use facilities. We all know that our schools are used heavily by the public. I don't have a problem with that. We have girls volleyball here every Wednesday. We got Little League football. I'm sure there'll be a lot of other things coming along. We have team states here. We have youth leadership summit. And I have not had anything that positive experience working with the community so far here, and it was that way at Canyon as well. I think they respect the facilities, and I think they appreciate being able to use those facilities. That's my report. Again, I appreciate the opportunity to present some of my thoughts and feelings about the school, and again, thank you for all you do for the family help.
Well, we appreciate that. I appreciate you outlining the goals. I think it conveys to us that you have a desire to succeed here and make a school that's great even better. I just was really impressed with that. I'm impressed that you are going into the classroom. I think that's always beneficial to everybody. And thank you for having the energy to tackle something new. And
at my age.
No, I wasn't going to say that. Anyway, I'm amazed. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. About the same age. Thank you. We'll have the superintendent's report.
Okay. put a hand out in front of you. I have a couple things to add to it, but first of all, the release of the AYP UPass information was yesterday, the official release. This year we were very pleased with the school district as a whole. All of our schools made the UPass state acceptable levels of performance. All 10 of our schools hit that mark, and we're excited about that. We have only one school that did not make AYP and are no child left behind. That was Capital Elementary. That was in the area of special education language arts. But of the 45 targets, they made 44 of them, which to me is still amazing that we're hitting the kind of targets that we are. So we were very pleased. Every year we hold our breath as those assessment results come out, but feel really good what our schools are doing. We've never yet had a school on program improvement under No Child Left Behind, which means that all of the penalties that go with that, we have never had to worry about that at this point. Not too many school districts can say that they have not had a school on program improvement under No Child Left Behind. We're one of those districts that can say that. So I'll report that to you officially. Remind you of the Utah School Board Association regional meeting, which is tomorrow night at 6 o'clock. This will be at Carbon School District office. That will include dinner. I encourage you to attend. We had to call a count in. We told them to be about five of us. So
If you need a ride, we'll be at the district office. We'll leave there about 5:30. Otherwise, it'll be at the Carbon District office.
Will it really be at
6
o'clock?
That's the plan.
So you're going to leave Huntington at 5:30?
Yeah, about 5:30.
Okay, thank you. And
I've got to start running tomorrow.
Sorry.
I wasn't on here. Jared handed you an enrollment report update. This is as of today. Today is our official count that the auditor states. We very pleased to see that we have projected have a decline enrollment of 17 this year. When school started, we were down about double that. We did pick up those numbers, and now, as of October 1st, we're actually up 4 students from the district. We're no longer in the decline for this year. So that is a good report. The problem we're going to experience over the next few years is that Emory High is going to lose almost 80 students in the next 3 years, be down about 80, but our junior highs will start to increase now because of that three-year bubble, reverse bubble, that's going through our system. They're all in the junior highs this year. Our junior highs now should start to see increases, but Emory High over the next 3 years will see declines, and then they will start to see some increase. But we're going to, actually, district-wide next year, we project we'll be up somewhere around 20, 25 students. And then we'll lose for the next 2 years, and then we'll start to gain again. So it's a roller coaster, but we're happy with the numbers where we're at this year. And also, I just want to give you a quick report on the two other things. I put in front of you a new district directory and also a loose leaf folder which contains the beginning of updating our employee evaluation program. Over the next month or so, if you have an opportunity to go through that, take a notebook and write down which employee group it is, what page number, and what recommendations you might have. This is the beginning of the copies. We'll distribute this also to our principals. We'll have copies in faculty rooms. We will have copies for school community council to start looking at. And by next year, actually by December or January, we'd like to have this approved by the board and then next year implemented. Very few changes in this document. I listed some on the information I sent to you. The only updates, the only changes really are policy, things that were changed in policy with regard to tenure, and also legal changes in statute. The format's a little different the way it looks, and a couple of wording changes to match no salary behind references. Other than that, it's pretty much the same document. So any input that you'd like to give on that, we would certainly appreciate. The last thing is, a little bit of an update of the special session of the legislature over the budget. Public education was pretty much held harmless in those cuts. Even the state office of education didn't sustain too much of a cut. They anticipated 3%, but didn't get that. However, there was about $75 million in cuts that were made. They call them undistributed fund balances of $75 million from the school funds. They did take the $6.4 million of the state money out of the UVISCA remediation that we were allocated to pay those teachers who are doing the remediation. We'll still meet those obligations, and we will still do that remediation. It's still part of the law, but the funding from the state will not be there this year. We'll see if that gets restored in the future. But the $75 million, they basically took out and are replacing a lot of it with one-time monies, which means not only will you start next year out worrying about where the money's going to come from, but you'll be $75 million in the hole statewide to begin with. So we don't anticipate a really good year next year as we start to look, unless something happens to now in January when the legislature goes into session. Next year's budget is going to be really difficult as far as any increases. But we do feel good at the fact that the legislature did look out for public education in this special session. There is some indication that there may be more cuts before the end of this year. They're looking at possibly another 1% cut prior to the end of this coming budget year. So we'll see what happens.
that's what happened in special session. That's all I have.
Thank you. Appreciate that update. We will go ahead with Garrett, the business administrator's report.
Just a couple of things. We completed our audit in the last couple of weeks, and things went well. We'll have an official report from the auditor probably at next month's meeting in Green River, as long as we can get all of our statements and everything completed by then. But it did go very well. And then we are planning a surplus sale for October 11th, two Saturdays from now. And we've been kind of gathering up things around the district over the summer and fall, so we'll offer those to the public on the 11th. If you have anyone call you about it, they can give us a call to Mr. Dawson if you have any questions.
Will you send out a list, or will you have an itemized list of what's available? Or?
We have a list of most things in the paper.
Okay.
This week and next week. It's hard to list everything because there's a lot of odds and ends, but yeah, we do have a list.
Okay. Is that all you have?
Yep.
Okay, thank you, Jared. Anything from the public? Go ahead.
I didn't apologize for my prior. I'm here for economic development.
And as
do you have any?
As you may or may not be aware, we I'll get to remind when I'm done. Economic Development has done some education camps each summer for the last 4 years. First paragraph I know you all can read. They've had a CSI camp, a theater camp, a Dino Day camp, music camp, computer camp, entrepreneur camp, science camp, archaeology camp, Range Creek archaeology, and a paleo camp. And they've done well. And as we've been going through our budgeting down in economic development, trying to figure out what we do, what we're trying to do, we're hoping that Emory School District might find that this is beneficial enough. You guys have always given us grants, and it's gone to help make this break even. It was never really set up to make money, but it's at a point it either needs more help or it needs to be done. Mark Stilson has put in more than 1,000 hours of volunteer work every year for these camps. I mean, it's just eating him up, and he does such a good job. But it either needs more help, and we're hoping you may have some suggestions. The one thing, Patsy made these comments, because I'm not the best one to do this, but here I am. Patsy just put in here that not all students are athletes, and it's true. And so it seems to be that a lot of times when there are budget cuts, they come in the artistic sense of things. And so with the music camp, the theater camp, and especially like the computer camp, we're hoping that you might want to partner with a little bit. There just is no money in the budget for economic development, and we're not sure it's our place to continue to do this. So as you go into your executive session, maybe you'll visit this a little bit and see how you feel if there's a bigger part that the school district can play or something that they would specifically want. I will also give you the information that we were going to go to the USU Extension Office and to, the Red District, thank you, to see what they would help participate in. Anything, we don't want to see them die. I mean, it's been a good thing, and especially with the archaeology imperial camp, people have been coming from back east, and it seems we've had a lot of outsiders come and wondering if we can get something more with our local kids. We have, our next meeting is on October 28th at 7:30 in the morning. Superintendent Fisher's been pretty good to be there when he's had the time, wondering if we will have some input, a little bit of answer, either some help, not help.
This has been discussed on numerous occasions, and I've spent a lot of time with Mark Stilton on this. And we have discussed various ways that this could be developed and directed. The problem is if the school district takes over these summer camps, then it requires additional personnel resources for us, because we don't have the personnel resources to direct these camps and put in the thousands, so many hours that it takes to do it. Mark and I have talked many times about the need to find private entities who would like to run those camps under economic development, or the county recreation program picking up them as academic summer camps, similar to what they do with their soccer and football and those kind of things. But we just haven't had we don't have the personnel resources to run the camps. If we had the money to run the camps, we have been able to give about $3,000 in scholarships for students. But if we had the money to run to hire personnel to run those camps, then my position has always been that we invest that money into remediation for math and reading, summer school for math and reading remediation programs for those academic kids, the kids who are struggling academically in math and reading, which we haven't been able to do because of lack of funding to operate summer school for remediation. So it's hard for us, it's hard for me at least, the superintendent, to justify picking up the cost and expense of and the additional resources of enhancement kinds of programs when we're struggling to find the funding for remediation programs and to help kids who are struggling in those areas. I think the camps are great. I think they're wonderful programs, and we've had students who've been involved in gained greatly from them. Our problem is one of personnel resources, and the only thing that I can see that, you know, there's no problem with us helping with the advertising and providing scholarships to students. The big problem with the summer camps really is someone to manage them and to do the legwork and to put them together and to make sure they operate and they're carried out. It's someone to run them, which we haven't had the personnel to do. That and the question as to whether or not how they really tie into economic development is the other question. I know that there are those who have felt that this would enhance and entice businesses to move into the area, and I know that many of your corporations who look at coming into an area look at the education system that we have. But most of the time what they come in and they ask questions are they want to look at our achievement test scores, they want to look at what kind of academic programs we offer, they want to look at what our basic education programs are, they want to look at what kind of skills are being developed for the workforce. I don't know that I've ever been asked about these kinds of things, and I don't diminish them at all. They're valuable. They're extremely valuable. But I honestly believe that it's going to take either a private entity or a group like County Recreation who can add this to their athletic programs they offer only under academic, unless we can find the funding to hire additional personnel to operate them, because it would require a part-time person. Probably a half-time person, or at least a part-time person, put this together and make sure it works.
Thank you for your presentation. We will discuss that. Thanks. Appreciate that. Thank you, Superintendent. Any other comments? Are there items, personnel items, or for closed meeting?
I have one.
Okay.
The end of the category is negotiation.
Okay. Good.
I move we go into closed meeting to discuss this negotiation item.
Okay. All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Thank you all for being here and thanks for your participation.
We've got it.
Josh White. May I have to turn this way?
Well, we're going to be meeting with
the Board of Education of Emory School District. Will be having a closed meeting tonight starting at 7:45 p.m. The purpose of the meeting is to discuss the character or competence of individuals, and because of that, the meeting will not be recorded, but a short minute will be kept of the meeting.
I make a motion that we go back into our regular session.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, is there a motion to adjourn?
I make the motion that we adjourn.
What about consensus?
I'll second that motion.
What do we need?
Consensus item on the economic development. Do we need that?
No, because that wasn't a motion. It wasn't on the docket.
It wasn't on the agenda.
You can't make us take action on it.
So is there all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
What do we do with our eyes? Place that.
We have a bike, Marie, and I can put you some flyers if you want me to do that maybe more.